welcome to another edition of Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious and non-dogmatic Liberty lovers anywhere, everywhere. I am Robin Kerner, and the original Blue Republican, and this is another... we have a bit of a regular feature on Blue Republican Radio. Not that regular, but kind of regular, which is kicking back with Zach. Zach, my friend, my buddy, my partner in crime, actually my partner in liberty, but since the country is where it is, doing anything much for liberty is kind of almost a crime. So I think I can accurately say partner in crime. Good to have you on the show again, Zach. How you doing, mate?
Oh, life is so good, Robin. I've got my Rainier beer.
That's how we do this, right? On the occasions when we have a kicking back with Zach, you've always got one of those in your hand, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and usually with me, it's a cup of tea, depending on the time of the day, or a single malt whiskey if it's a little later. But today it's tea because I'm recording this at 6 in the evening, and that's a bit early for whiskey for me.
You know, it's after 5.
It is after 5, but I'm one of those night owls, right? So I'm late to bed and late to rise. So 6 p.m. is kind of lunchtime for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if we were doing this on the weekend, it'd be cool.
Yeah, there you go. What day? See, I don't even know what day of the week it is. It's Tuesday, isn't it?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, well, happy Tuesday to you, and happy Saturday or Sunday to the listeners, because this show now comes out on Saturday and Sunday, which let's talk about that at the beginning of the show. So as if you're listening to this, as I'm sure you know, Blue Republican Radio started on Daily Pool Radio. Was dailypoolradio.com. There's still a site up there, and that, of course, was affiliated with the famous site Daily Pool, Michael Nystrom's Daily Pool. But now the show, the whole platform, is being transitioned to Truth Be Told Media, truthbetoldmedia.com. So that is where this show is to be found in the future. If you're listening to this streaming right now, you may have gotten to it by going to truthbetoldmedia.com. Now, I know that the last show that was archived, the last Blue Republican show that was archived, as of now, I'm recording this at the end of July, the last archive show is actually from the beginning of June. So I know there's a bunch of shows that haven't been archived. It turns out that transitioning an entire radio station, even an online one, is quite a big deal, especially when it's growing. And especially when it has two channels, as we're going to have. We're going to have a whole live channel, live shows only, and then a mixed live and recorded channel, which for the foreseeable future is where Blue Republican Radio is going to be. So there's a lot going on. And this is why my more recent shows haven't been archived. But I intend to put this right. I spoke to the awesome Alison Bricker, who's basically the producer and project manager of this whole thing. And it could be another 4 to 6 weeks before, the station can get around to archiving these. So I might actually learn how to edit audio, like really edit audio and get these things archived. And you will see if I'm successful in the next week or two, because if I am, my last 2 months of shows will start appearing. But anyway, they're not going to be lost. If you hold tight, they will be up eventually, whoever it is that edits them and posts them. I should also say that as part of a big deal that I hope we have coming down the pipe, there is now a Blue Republican channel on iTunes. BlueRepublican.iTunes.com is now a thing. That thing will be carrying the Blue Republican archives. You can already actually get now the shows that have been archived, the shows up to the beginning of June. Remember, we started at the end of January. So they're all already available on iTunes. And the reason we're kind of setting up this infrastructure, if we can call it that, is because there are very big plans. I've tended to keep quiet about them because it's always kind of dangerous to say things before they happen. As you know, right, Zach? As you know, great, the best laid plans of mice and men, or however the phrase goes.
Yeah, they don't happen overnight.
They don't happen overnight, and sometimes you make 10 and like 3 happen, right? So I'm always wary of that, especially when, as all of us in the Liberty Movement, we all work basically as volunteers and with volunteers, and we all have, other things that call on our time. But anyway, I am hoping, and I am working with some awesome people to make this happen, that there will be a Blue Republican app. You will be able to download Blue Republican to the iPhone. The Blue Republican website is going to have yet another incarnation to integrate it with this, and we're going to be off to the races. Now, part of the thing that app is going to do is going to put in your hand, in a bang up-to-date fashion, obviously, all Blue Republican content, whether that is my radio shows, articles, not just by me, but by other Blue Republican folks, whether that be, followers of the movement we've got going here, or perhaps more importantly, chapter chairs. We've got chapters in Minnesota and Missouri and California and Arizona and Colorado, etc., etc. I'm thinking we're about to get one here in Washington that I'm very excited about. I say here in Washington because, as you know, I live here in Seattle, Washington. So lots of good stuff happening. And so hold tight on... with Blue Republican Radio. I'm glad if you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it streaming. Thank you for making the time on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. You are the hardcore. You are the 10% hardest core Blue Republican listeners if you're listening to the streaming. 90% of the listenership is downloads, and it's thousands and thousands of downloads, which I'm excited about. Obviously not as great if the archives aren't there to download, which is why I have to put that right. Anyway, that's enough about me for a little bit. What's going on with you, Zach?
A lot of stuff that I can't talk about.
See, that's the thing with you. You really are. You're like this liberty man of mystery, you know.
I work behind the scenes on a number of projects. A lot of stuff I can't talk about.
Now, what can you tell us about what you're doing right now? Obviously, you're working very closely with Ben Swan, right?
Yeah, Ben's wearer of many hats.
Ben's wearer of many hats. Well, you are, I mean, that kind of is you, isn't it? You are the Forrest Gump
of
Liberty.
I'm your wearer of many hats. I'm Ben's wearer of many hats. I was marketing director for the Gray State film.
Right.
We're still waiting on attorneys to finish that up. It's working in a similar fashion with the Uncle Samta.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we had those two amazing creators of that project, of that film, on just a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, they're funny, AJ and Sean.
I really enjoyed that interview. That was a good interview. That was interesting.
Yeah. So we're moving forward there. I also co-manage a rock band, and... I've got something pretty interesting. I can't give away too many of the details, but a festival canceled on me recently after they had told me they wanted the band, and so I was bummed for like maybe 30 seconds, and then kind of revisited an idea that had been pitched to me by a friend. Who told me, well, why don't you do like a We Are the World kind of take one of the songs that Golden State already has written and do it as like a collaborative project. And my guess is some of the people who are listening to this are familiar with Golden State's song Bombs, as it was kind of the Ron Paul anthem of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea, is to take that and, if we can get 20 or more really big name artists to collaborate on it, that it could be something really huge.
I love it.
A lot of the details on all the projects I'm working on, I just can't talk about much. Ben's show is going to be, it's going to be on TV. I guess that's all.
So now this is now we're allowed to talk about this. This is official knowledge, right?
It's official. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say after that, but yeah, Ben will be back on TV.
Ben Swan back on TV.
Broadcasting from Washington D.C.
The belly of the beast.
Yeah, exactly.
What a glutton for punishment he is. But then I guess we all are, aren't we, if we're in this game?
Yeah, something else I guess I can talk about that I'm hoping arrange is a meeting between my friend Richard Feldman. Have I introduced you to Richard? Richard was a Reagan appointee. He has advised presidents from Clinton to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the president of the Independent Firearm Owners Association.
We got 15 seconds left in the segment.
And he's a libertarian, and we'll get back to it. he's going to help us introduce myself, Gary Johnson, and Judge Jim Gray to somebody.
Awesome. Okay, we're going into the break. Thanks, Zach. Being with me here this weekend afternoon, because I know that's when you're listening to this, Blue Republican radio show. We're having a laid-back show because this is a Kicking Back with Zach episode. This is me, Robin, talking to my friend Zach. Zach, who really helped build Blue Republican. And Zach, when we went into the break, you were mentioning Richard Feldman and saying that he's going to be helping set up a meeting between who?
At least Judge Jim Gray, possibly Governor Gary Johnson, myself. I would like you to be there as well. And Janet Brown. Janet Brown is the executive director of the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Aha! Oh, now this is great stuff. Now, this relates presumably to the work that we're doing with Open Debates.
It relates to that. It also relates to the governor's lawsuit against the commission.
Mm.
And Richard, is someone who's a supporter of the governor's. He had the governor at his house when Gary Johnson was up in New Hampshire. Richard has been a friend of mine for a few years. Definitely libertarian. Okay. And he's also a personal friend of Janet Brown's, on it, you know, like went to her wedding kind of friend. And so
what would be the, if there is one, what would be the hopeful outcome of this meeting?
Well, the hopeful outcome is to get her to realize that, you know, her the days of their having the lockdown are over. You know, I think you know, Judge Gray's a pretty eloquent guy.
Yes.
I think just the benefit of her, you know, talking with him.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a personal relationship being leveraged to get people in a room together.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that she wouldn't want to be in a room and to even discuss this, right?
You know, at the same time, you know, she's a human being and
is half decent.
Might be half decent, yeah.
Obviously, but decent enough to go ahead with a meeting like this.
Oh, we'll see. Richard's working on it.
He's working on it. Okay. And you said that she was actually a friend of Richard's. Is that right? That's actually a friend.
I mean, yeah, Richard's known her for decades.
Wow. You
know, went to her wedding.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I think. You know, I know some of the board of directors of the Commission on Presidential Debates and know about what you and I are doing.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, one, they knew about the debates that I worked on in 2012. But I've also sent, you know, all the board of directors, you know, our plans.
Yeah. And I should just say, if there are any listeners who maybe weren't listening to the early shows where I know we did discuss Open Debates, it's opendebates2016.com is the website, right?
You got it.
So this is an effort that Zach is working on primarily. I'm just a kind of a spokesperson, but very proud to be one. The effort here is to have debates, presidential debates for 2016 in the mainstream, right, covered in the mainstream, that are comprehensive and involve all presidential candidates that have a chance based on where they're running and the electoral college numbers of becoming president of the U.S. And of course the philosophical purpose, if you like, or the broader purpose, I should perhaps say, is to get ideas that are outside the Republicrat mentality presented to the nation at a time when the nation tends to be listening, which is, in a presidential election or the run-up to one. And Zach was actually the guy who, with only really 6 weeks to sort it out, made happen and made significant the open debates in 2012
I got to give Christina Tobin, a lot of credit. She was the one that made it happen.
Sure. Yes, you're right. You're right. Thank you for that. Yeah, she, Christina Tobin from freeandequal.org, right?
Yeah, I was her communications director. I saw the opportunity of taking what she had done in 2008
right.
And how to make it bigger than it was in 2008. So, yeah, without me, it would have, I think it would have been pretty unnoticed. But taking my experience of attaching celebrity to, what you're doing, made all the difference. And being really annoying.
But you do that in such a nice way, Zach. That's why you're so good.
I do it in a very nice way. Yeah.
To be Zach attacked is not a bad thing.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody who worked at, the six TV networks that carried those debates, like just the people that worked behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They were getting emails and phone calls. So
they were sick to death of you, were they?
What's that?
They were sick to death of you, were they?
Well, I don't think they were sick to death of me, but you just do it until somebody passes it along. And
of course, I know they weren't. I'm just pulling you.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. The good news is, I've learned a lot, and hopefully we have a budget to hire a broker.
Mm-hmm.
2016 rolls around, so I've been fundraising behind the scenes, and all looks good.
Yeah, and the one of the interesting things about this is that. Obviously, this time we've got a big run-up to set it up, but we're actually looking at having numerous debates, not just one or two, but potentially 10 in the year running up to the actual election. Is that's still what we're looking at, right, Zach?
Yeah, the debates starting in August of 2016 instead of,
2015.
In 2016.
August 2016 through to the election.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of right before the election day,
right.
Starting it before the Republicans and Democrats have their debates. That's the plan.
And one day, perhaps if we do this, 1 year, we'll be able to shame the Republicans and the Democrats to actually joining the real debate, which is going on the open debate stage.
Yeah, I would hope if we've got a decent candidate, Rand Paul or maybe a Cory Booker that they would, be supportive of what we're doing and come to ours. Definitely.
You know what? That's really interesting that you like the idea that a presidential candidate from the Republican or Democratic Party would do that. Just seemed to me to be absurd. But when you said Rand Paul, maybe I'm being naive, but. It's not outside the realm of possibility that he would do that.
No, I think if we've got a big name moderator, which is what we're shooting for, I've already got I can't go public with their names until I pay their speaking fees.
Right.
But I've got a number of very well known media personalities that have agreed to be a part of this. I think once that's out there. And we've got a number of TV networks that are going to be carrying them, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that they wouldn't break with the Commission on Presidential Debates.
That all makes complete sense. I was actually thinking from a philosophical point of view, from actually a point of view of principle. Looking at what Rand is doing now, he really does seem to be making an effort to get to people who wouldn't consider voting, certainly for his party, under normal circumstances, certainly the African-American community, et cetera, et cetera. Philosophically, I think, maybe his principles might possess him to do it, let alone the political value.
Yeah, and we've got, if he is the Republican candidate, if the establishment allows that to happen.
Yeah.
We do have, one degree of separation to Senator Paul.
Mm.
So it would be easy to get the message to him, that's for sure.
Okay, we're going into the break. Thanks a lot, Zach.
You bet.
Thanks for being with us on Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. Yeah, so Zach, okay, this is all interesting stuff. What else of interest has been going on this week in the world of liberty? One issue that's just a huge issue right now, again, is the little inconvenience we have going down on our southern border. Any thoughts?
Yeah. And I think of any issue, this is the one that I'm most conflicted on.
That's interesting.
I say I have, there are three steps in my, my waking up, as it were. And step number two was the border. The border situation really bothered me. When I learned that American soldiers couldn't defend our border with Mexico the way I had defended it as a soldier in Kosovo, that really made me wonder why I was a soldier. But since then, now there's all this talk of, we need to build a wall and walls, keep people in. Just as much as they keep people out. So I'm terribly conflicted.
I really appreciate that. I remember, now that you mention it, your story about, your journey to liberty, as it were, and the dissonance between, what you were doing on a border in Kosovo, and what wasn't being done on the border in our own nation. I remember that, but I didn't know that you were going to say that you were conflicted, and I'm kind of, if you take this the right way, I'm kind of glad that you did, because I think that speaks to my current feelings about it. I think I'm most concerned, not so much with the fact that there, with one or other position, that people take on this issue, certainly, people in the liberty movement, but the fact that this, as in so many issues, I guess, there's just this idea that, this is the answer, it's black and white, and if you don't agree, then, obviously you're a fill-in-the-blank, right? Racist or xenophobe is a popular one right now. Yeah. It is a tough issue. It's a really tough issue. One thing that's been kind of bugging me for the last week is this. I mean, tell me if this resonates, but if I hear somebody else say that the border is arbitrary, it's just an arbitrary line on the map, you know, I think my head might explode. Arbitrary has a certain meaning. The one thing, like, if there's one thing in the world that isn't arbitrary, it's a border between, you know, two large nations. If you want an arbitrary border, maybe by the right definition, you could say that the borders, some of those borders drawn in Africa by, you know, Churchill and his ilk, you know, when he literally did just put a ruler on the map and start dividing up a continent. You could say that's arbitrary. But of course, sorry, what were you going to say there, mate?
And Iraq, which was drawn up by the French and the British.
Thank you. Yeah, good example. Yeah. But even these arbitrary borders, over time, you know, when they separate completely different cultures with completely different histories and different languages and people that operate differently and they think differently with different polities and different political institutions and different economic systems and economic laws, etc., etc., etc. You know, those are borders, anything at that point, but arbitrary. And so it's this kind of like, it's almost, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but there is something kind of like, it seems a little childlike to me in kind of writing off this, what I agree with you is a difficult topic, with a comment like that. Oh, there's arbitrary. No, it's not arbitrary. This thing is the result of a very complex historical process that's involved many, many people, has been both cause and effect of those processes, of different processes on either side of those of that border that has moved. But to say it's arbitrary just seems a little silly. And I, you know, I did an interview this weekend, mate, on Truth Frequency Radio. Anybody listening, check it out. They're great guys. Well, Chris and Cherie, so a guy and a gal, excuse me, Cherie. You can be an honorary guy. you know, we did...
remember sending them your information.
Yes, see, there's another one. See, Zach, the effective dark horse, the backroom boy for Liberty, for Blue Republicans, Ben Swan, and everyone else that matters. thanks for that, mate. That was my thread. Yeah, so we were talking about the immigration thing. And, you know, it's just not reasonable to me to say to, put it this way, what we discussed in that interview was that, of course, the values in the Constitution, the principles of the Constitution, should be enjoyed by all human beings. We want everybody to enjoy those principles in a real way in their life, you know, including North Koreans. But obviously and clearly, excuse my tautology, the Constitution is written chiefly for American U.S. persons, and it binds the U.S. government in the way it deals with America and Americans. It doesn't oblige the U.S. government to people who are not American, i.e. do not fall under the auspices of the Constitution. And it is perfectly reasonable, it seems to me, that people should be concerned at the apparent lack of control, or, you know, the chaotic and or dangerous and or hazardous way that something is being done. In this case, people are coming into their communities that do not have to obey the same laws that they have to obey. Obviously, there's the fact of, you know, coming illegally in the first place, but, you know, that we've heard stories about how, you know,
our mismanagement is, you know, definitely playing into this. Why do we have border checkpoints 100 miles from the border?
Yeah, I mean, that itself is a statement of failure, isn't it? I mean, either don't have the border or have, you know, or be at the border. But what is, yeah, I mean, that's a very ominous thing right there. I mean, I think the reason for me this is a tough issue is that obviously I appreciate the sentiment that we want freedom of movement. All people with liberty-minded want freedom of movement. I think all of us see the benefit of the system that we had maybe 100 years ago where you didn't need a passport to cross a border. We all get that. But there's a difference between an ideal and ignoring the impact of a transition on the ground to an ideal, right? Just because you restate the ideal doesn't mean you don't cause harm getting there if you don't get there in a sensible way. And I see all of these things, you know, Facebook, and again, like the interview, people say, well, this is what's right. And I say, but okay, that's great as a destination, but nobody's arguing, I don't think, that we shouldn't have immigrants. I think most Americans, even very conservative Americans, if I can put it that way, want this to be a nation of immigrants who add to the nation and its ideals. We're not talking about that. That's not at issue. What is at issue, surely, is how this is managed and whether it's managed, how it's managed, and what information we as a country, as a community, have about the people that we bring into the country. And that just seems such a basic thing that any community would want to at least know what was happening to it. And I think that instinctively, to say that is actually to respect individual rights. And I think individuals, wherever you have individuals who are free, usually in history and across the world, they do define a community, right? They do define communities, they do have borders, and they do set some kind of rules for the coming in and out of those borders. Let me put it this way. I'm a permanent resident, I am an immigrant, and what I went through was hell. I mean, it was completely inhumane, and I do believe that the American immigration system is inhumane. I use that word advisedly, and I think it encourages the kind of thing that we're seeing, and I would completely reform it, and I would make it a lot easier for a lot more people to be in the US on legal terms and to contribute. So I say that from experience. But there is a moral hazard here, and there is an issue, surely, when if you're a movement, as we are in the Liberty Movement, that are against welfare, we can't simply say, just let people come in and let government take care of it. Who is taking care of it? Who's paying? If you're a movement that cares about localism, if communities don't want these immigrants that haven't followed the basic rules as they understand them, well, we have to at least respect that. We may not agree, but that's not an unreasonable position. So I find these kind of contradictions in the position, which is, I guess, precisely why I agree with what you said, Zach. That is, this is difficult.
Yeah, my sister, she experienced, my guess is it was similar. She immigrated to Mexico, got her Mexican citizenship, and it took her, close to 7 years. But she did it legally. She did it the right way,
did she feel that her liberty was being impinged on? Did she feel put upon by that process? Just out of interest.
Well, I think what amazes me is she has less rights than we give Mexicans. That she'll never be like the same as natural born citizens. She'll never have the same full rights.
This is a remarkable thing about the United States. A remarkable thing about the United States, and I think people who don't travel don't realize this. This is one of a handful of countries, and it may be the only country, where you can come and completely be of the nation that you join. You can immigrate to America and be fully American, because the definition of an American is a civic definition. That's something you see across the Anglosphere, but in America, it's greater than anywhere. You come to America, you can be American. When I take my oath to this nation, as I hope to do probably within about half a year, I will be and I will feel American. I already feel American. Now, I used to live in Taiwan. I lived in Taiwan for 2 years. But I thought for a while, actually, Zach, I was going to make a life out there in Asia. But I always would have known that I never really would have been a Taiwanese or Chinese. Right. I mean, of course not. So in this respect, the gift of the idea of America to the immigrants that make that idea is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Quite remarkable. And, obviously now, you mentioned Mexico, but a lot of the problem that we're facing largely, this immediate problem, is asylum seekers / refugees, in quotes, I'm going to put that in quotes, from countries like Honduras and Guatemala. Now, there are very interesting, very well-established rules. If you are a refugee, if you're seeking asylum because you are in threat of your life, your right to asylum is within the first country, safe country, that you get to when you have left the country in which you're in danger. Now, The United States is not, therefore, the refugee target country. You know, the target country for refugees, for some of these people who are refugees. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be callous about it. But, you know, we, again, people use these words loosely and wrongly. And I sometimes question the motivations behind, you know, these wrong uses of words in very sensitive issues like this.
Yeah, it makes me want to drink beer.
Yeah, I mean, I said, again, I think this is a tricky one for the libertarian movement. I saw the Libertarian Party put out a document, it was only a couple of weeks ago, on what we should do with these children who are coming. And I certainly do appreciate the position that the U.S. can absorb immigrants, and certainly genuine asylum seekers and refugees. I think, you know, I get it. I mean, I completely get it. But the LP put out this, I don't know, statement that was basically, yeah, take them all because it's the right thing to do. And it didn't speak at all to who would pay for it, to the implied welfareism, to the implied autonomy of the communities that would be affected. In other words, it was as if so many of the principles that usually motivate libertarian arguments just kind of were put aside. And I'm not saying I have the right answer, but I'm concerned. Intellectual dishonesty might be a too strong a way to put it, but it's definitely a loser politically, because I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure it is caring. I'm not sure it's just. I'm not sure it can be perceived to be just by the people who feel affected by what's going on the southern border. And the reality, the gangs and the crime, I mean, these are real things. These are real things, and they deserve an answer. And the Libertarian Party, for example, they can put out a statement like that. They're a political party. They're not a philosophical foundation. They have to put out policy statements. So they need to tell us what happens. Okay, if we open the borders, if we just say, okay, with all the moral hazard, and the other thing the Libertarian Party were always telling us, we of who love the free market, we always say you get what you incentivize, right? You do get what you incentivize. There is a moral hazard with opening the borders. I mentioned that I used to live in Taiwan, and this reminds me of a little story. I haven't checked this recently, but even in Taiwan, which is a first world country, it's not a developing country, it's a developed country, there are ads, classified ads, that run in newspapers regularly offering language classes in the United States only for mothers, for women who are 8 months pregnant. This is the Anchor Baby ad. Now, this happens. It's real. Anybody can check it. Many people who mention this, are accused of being xenophobes or whatever. I only mention it because I say, look, guys, if we as libertarians are going to win this and get people to see it our way, we have to also take into account their legitimate concerns rather than, you know, sweep them under the rug. And we're going into the last break, so I will take a break. Zach and I were just talking in the break, and we did get onto the thing that, you know, you always have to kind of mention when you talk about the immigration crisis, which is the drug war. You know, there is, of course, no doubt that American policy when it comes to drugs, a massive contributor to the crime from which these poor immigrants are fleeing. And indeed, you know, I've got a book on my shelf here, The Brothers by Stephen Kinzer, John Foster Dulles, Alan Dulles and their secret world war. If you want to know about what we've done in recent decades, in the last couple of generations as a nation, also to screw up these countries, that's a great book. We do have a lot of responsibility. And of course, you know, it's right that the Libertarian Party should be using this crisis, and I hate to put it that way, but they should, to make this very important point about the drug war, because we are killing people. You know, this needs to stop directly or indirectly through the drug war. But of course, we also have to recognize that that saying that and being right about it doesn't address the immediate concerns of the people who will be affected by a kind of, you know, throw your hands up in the air kind of policy down there on the border. And I lived in Phoenix for a while, and I actually have an apartment in Tucson. And, you know, so I do know that the fears down there, they're real. They are real. And you know, even if they were wrong, I think the concern is legitimate, and we as a movement must be able to speak to show that we care as much for those who disagree with us and are American as those who may be neither of those things. Zach, mate, we've got just like 3/4 of a minute to close. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I still want to make whiskey in Mexico.
Why Mexico when you can go to Scotland and make whiskey?
Well, they got all that corn in Mexico.
Yeah.
Not making any whiskey. And
I see. So this is how you're going to become a billionaire.
My family owns 2 bars to, you know, to sell it out of. So.
Say that again?
My family owns 2 bars in Mexico to sell it out of.
So if we have an influx from the south of our border into the States, if anybody's worried about that, Zach and his family will at least be nudging the numbers slightly in the other direction.
That's right.
And all for a good cause. Whiskey.
I
love it. I appreciate it. Thanks for being with me, everyone. Tune in next week to Blue Republican Radio.